And now it's time for Shelf Life, news from the Witcher at Stouffville Public Library, with your host, librarian Catherine Sword.
Hello, everyone, and today's topic is going to sound maybe a little bit strange, but it's combining two things, project management and the Titanic. And I've got an author with me today, Mark Kosak-Holland, who's going to help me out with this because he's written a book called Project Management Blunders, where he uses the Titanic as a case study. So that's how they're combined. More importantly, Mark will be at our library for a program on Thursday, January 17th, 7 p.m. We've been discussing, it'll be about an hour long, and then some question and answers, and it's going to be about project management blunders. And I'm going to pass it over to Mark now to tell us a little bit about what project management is.
Yeah, sure, Catherine. Most people hear the term and assume it is a discipline that's run by a select group of people, men in white coats type of thing. In reality, it's something that you really do every day. For example, a trip to the grocery store, organising a barbecue, having an addition built, writing an end-of-term report, or even building a custom car. It's something we inherently do. So think of it in those terms.
Yes. Yes. When I was at library school, I had a teacher that was teaching systems management, and he would challenge a class, how do you make tea? And you boil water, you put in a cup, and he goes, well, actually, there's a lot of steps in there that you're not naming. We assume so much, and I think that's where people get into trouble maybe with project management, is they think, oh, I know how to do a project, I know how to do this. But there's a lot of steps, aren't there?
Yeah, the steps is one side of it. It's the sequencing. That's really sort of part of scheduling or time management. But there's actually sort of eight major other areas as well.
So we're talking
nine major areas.
Oh, my gosh. So this is a big thing.
It is in the sense of it's quite comprehensive in the way that you approach a project.
Okay. Right? Well, then I'm going to ask about how this has anything to do with a small business, because we're focusing, I think, on small business in January. That sounds too complicated. Help me out here.
No, it's not too complicated, because with a small business, most people jump onto the obvious things with project management. So they look at things like the schedule, they look at the scope of what they're doing, and they also look at the budget, the three main things, cost, time, and scope. But what project management helps you do, and especially for a small business, is it opens up these other areas that you need to think about in the planning phase. Okay. And the other areas will be things like what resources do I have available to me in terms of people, what type of risks are there in going forward with this. And what you do is you basically go through a planning process where you look at these different areas and you try and apply techniques from that, and you determine a plan where you can start to go forward with. But it's something that it's quite simple once you get the hang of it, and it's something that you inherently would do. You do this on a daily basis anyway. When you cross the road, you assess the risk, don't you, right?
That's true. Good point.
If you go to the grocery store, you know, can I carry all the groceries myself? Do I need some help? Again, it's just planning that into the actual activities itself.
You haven't seen me do groceries where I've gone with, oh my gosh, this is too heavy, I need a cab. But then that's actually the reason why you would want to have a project management, so you don't find yourself partway into a project and realizing, oh, I'm over my head.
That's exactly it. And that's typically what happens, is that people, they basically rush into something, and halfway through, they don't know whether they're on track or not. Mm-hmm. And that's what project management does, is it really helps you step back at the front and think through what you're trying to do, what your objective is, what you're going to deliver, who the stakeholders are, what the risks are, and how you're going to actually do it.
Yeah. Now, for a small business person, I like the idea of stepping back. I know even in my own job, I tend to get overwhelmed with five different things that I'm doing, and before I realize that I'm committed to something that I probably shouldn't have opened my mouth about. But as a small business person, they're often thinking, well, I'm going to do it all anyway, so why would I bother going through this process?
Well, what's interesting is the when you actually look at the statistics that have been collected around projects, an awful lot of projects actually don't complete. They fail. About a third of all projects fail.
Okay, a third.
A third, yeah. And okay. About 50% of projects are seriously challenged along the way, right, as to why you're doing this. So quite a lot of the time when projects start, the planning process hasn't gone through. And the most important question is why are we doing this? It doesn't get asked.
And really?
Okay. If you don't ask that question and actually have a very good answer, then the chances are that your project, you know, is one of many, or could be time, could be resources, could be better spent elsewhere, and therefore it'll get cancelled.
Actually, I can think of a good example of that. I mean, when the new social media has come in and everybody's jumped on board and, okay, yeah, I better do that. And there's that attitude is, I better do that because everybody else says I should do that. And I haven't stepped back. I haven't asked that question that one you say is most important is, why would I do that? Is that the kind of process you're trying to encourage people to do, to slow down for a moment just because there's this brilliant new thing?
Exactly. I mean, it's all about the overall investment that you're going to make into the project in your own time, in your company's time and resources. So you're far better off actually just asking some key questions, which project management will point you to. Like, what is it we're trying to deliver? Okay. To who? What expectations are we trying to meet? How are we going to meet those expectations?
Okay.
Is there a different way we can do it? And it forces you into thinking through the answers to those. It forces you into looking at the financial aspects, what the return is of what you're trying to do. So in effect, you have a more comprehensive view of the whole picture.
Right. And you've got a better idea of how to establish a timeline. Because sometimes, I mean, my personal way of the, well, let someone else work out the bugs first and then I'll join. Now, I also think that a lot of people feel overwhelmed. We live in a time where it's crazy. We've got computers, we've got this, we've got 20 million things. But the Titanic was an era when people lived simpler lives, didn't they? Can you tell some of your secrets from your book about why the Titanic would fail?
Well, it's a very interesting project because, first of all, most of the focus is on the disaster, on the operation.
Usually, yes.
That's right. And most people forget that there was actually quite a long project that preceded it. And what I've discovered through all the research I've done is that this project was very well set up. It had two companies that were leaders in the marketplace that were involved, Holland Wolf and White Star. But the project itself, there were some fundamental mistakes that were made along the project timeline. And those project mistakes led to some very serious compromises that later were very much contributed to the disaster itself.
That's right. Can you give us, our listeners, an example of something that you'd be thinking of?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this is quite a common problem that happens within projects. Typically, you have a project team and you have different members in that team. So you have you have stakeholders, which are made up of project sponsors, and you have a project manager. And then you also have the people that do the actual work. So you have engineers and architects and so on. And what happened within the Titanic project, one very good example, is there were some fundamental compromises that were made to the actual safety requirements that were part of the ship. So one of the initial requirements was to build bulkheads across the ship. So you'd have 15 of these bulkheads that go from top to bottom and so on. Now, at the same time, the project sponsor was very focused on his client, on the customers, and he was trying to create a ultimate experience, crossing experience. Now, what happened was there was a stage gate meeting where the architects met with the sponsor, and what happened as a result was the sponsor was quite insistent on having a very large dining room, which would be the centerpiece of the entertainment system. So it was very important to him in terms of meeting client expectations. But the problem was that this was a very large room, largest room ever to go to sea, and it would cut through a number of bulkheads. So effectively, it would affect three bulkheads or three safety features.
Yes. Those bulkheads, if I'm not mistaken, were really important. Were they not, each one was a barrier between potential...
Correct.
Yes, potential
Correct.
Flooding.
Potential
That's
flooding.
Right.
And it was That's part right. of the design. So the architects were following the design, but the sponsor was basically questioning about putting in a very important feature that was very, very important to him and his yes. agenda, which was to meet customer
yes.
Expectations and the experience.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful example because we're all ingrained to think about your customer. in my case, your patron. It's all about them, how you satisfy them. And yeah, we can do a lot of things to help the people, let it make it look like a good experience or whatnot, at the expense of some other things that are going to be very important.
That's right. That's right. And that's what this is a very good example of what goes wrong in projects, where you basically have different requirements coming from different groups that are conflicting.
Yeah.
And decisions have to be made as to find the right course through those. And this is where, if you don't make the right decision, you're going to pay for it later on. And that's basically what happened with the Titanic.
That's right. That's right. Actually, in your book, I saw a wonderful picture of, I think it was a cartoon, an editorial cartoon, and it was a Pied Piper. Do you know which one I'm referring to?
Yes, I do.
I think that sums it up as well, and I think it's very appropriate for this time. Can you describe that for our listeners? Or,
well, the Pied Piper was actually J.P. Morgan, who was the owner, the owner of White Star, through a conglomerate of ships. And basically, it was a satire of him leading the financial magnates within the United States, because he was perceived to be, well, he was a financial leader, and he was actually the richest man in the world.
Yeah, I thought that was good, because I thought nowadays we still have the same issues, as the people with the money seem to speak loudest, and you know, we all grumble about that. But then it's also the Pied Piper of technology, I think, in our era, that we get led down the path by, you know, the latest new toy.
Right. And that's what happened with the Titanic. The the architects were quite, how can I put it, but overawed by the fact that they were going to implement all these new emerging technologies into the ship, and it became a bit of a plaything for them. Right. They kind of lost the. They kind of lost the plot a little bit as well, because their focus was to build this spectacular ship, but they were very much into all these technologies. It was an opportunity to build a ship that was a showcase in terms of all these technologies.
That's right. You get caught up in the excitement of it, I guess.
That's right.
And that is fun. That is the fun part. Yeah. So, listeners, if you'd like to see that cartoon, it's on page 22 of Mark's book, which is available in the library. At the title is called Project Management Blunders, Lessons from the Project That Built, Launched, and Sank Titanic. Now, this might be a good opportunity to mention the website where people can see others in this series. Would you like to mention a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is part of a growing series. We're putting out at least 2 to 3 books from the series every year. The series is called Lessons from History, and it uses different case studies from history to help us highlight different business concepts. There's about 10 books now in the series altogether. So it's lessonsfromhistory.com.
It's a fascinating group. We also have the other book, History of Project Management. Refresh my memory. What were some of the projects in that?
It basically goes through the a timeline that starts at the really beginning of civilization with the Giza Pyramid. And it picks out 25 of the most significant projects through time. And it looks at them from a project management perspective, which is unique, because most of the books that you pick up will look at these great creations from an architectural or an engineering perspective.
Yeah, and I think that's the other nice thing about this series, is that because they've got a little bit of history and case studies that people recognize, they are more interesting. It's not homework. So small business people or business people out there who may like to come and attend your session at the library, January 17th, 7 p.m. If you can register in advance, I'd really appreciate that. You can phone the library. Contact information is at the end of the show. But it's more entertaining to have someone talk to you about these things, and instead of having a dry text. I mean, we all have good intentions of reading the dry text, but might not. So I would encourage people to come out on that January 17th, listen to Mark, and we're just going to go to a quick station.